And today we are to continue to look at the cross of Christ and also individuals that come in Scripture as characters involved in His death. And today we're talking about a character called Simon from Cyrene. And all the three synoptic Gospels talk about it, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark chapter 15, verse 21.
Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross.
Now let's turn to Luke 23, verse 26.
Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. The first thing we want to consider today is the cross and the lost. And the Bible says that to the lost, the cross is a scandal. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As the Bible tells us, Simon was from Cyrene. Cyrene is today a very popular place in the news because Cyrene is now Tripoli, the capital of Libya, that country that has been on the news. About the 3rd century BC, in Cyrene, history tells us there was about 100,000 Jews. There was a large community of Jewish people in Cyrene. Now, the Jews had to celebrate certain feasts only in the city of Jerusalem. The law that the Lord gave to Moses said that the three main feasts, Pentecost, Passover, and the Day of the Atonement, had to be where the temple was in Jerusalem. So we see that Jews traveled from all over the world for Pentecost, Passover, and Day of Atonement to celebrate it in Jerusalem, where the temple was. So it's not a wonder to us that in Acts chapter 1, and you turn there with me, please, when the day of Pentecost is upon the Jewish community, that in Jerusalem there is tons of people, tons of Jews from Cyrene. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Did I say verse 10? Acts 2, not Acts 1. Verse 10.
Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes.
And we see here in Acts chapter 2, verse 10, that they are in Jerusalem at the day of the Pentecost. A large community coming from Libya to Israel. Now, this community grew larger even in Jerusalem to the point that they had a synagogue from these Jews from North Africa. Turn to Acts chapter 6, please. Acts chapter 6, verse 9.
Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen.
So Simon had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. That was the reason we find him in Jerusalem, to go to the temple, to stand before the priests, to bring his lamb to be slaughtered and celebrate Passover. I think that he came to Jerusalem that day. Remember, it's only a couple days before Passover to finalize the plans to celebrate Passover. He's thinking about the details, maybe about the unleavened bread that he needs to get. You know, he comes into town planning to go to the market with a shopping list that his wife gave him. Nothing has changed, my friends. Nothing has changed. Wives still give men shopping lists to go to grocery shopping. So he was certainly concerned about all these preparations. He was planning to go into the city. It says that he came from the countryside. He was planning to go into the city, but that day he ended up going out of the city. That day he had plans to come and buy maybe his little lamb to celebrate then with his family in Passover. But instead of that, he stumbles into the true Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I like to think about this story. Simon had plans, but God had other plans. And James says, never say, I will go there, I will do this, but you say, if God wills, I will go there and I will do this and that. We cannot supersede God's plan. I don't know what brought you here this morning, but my prayer is that, like Simon, when you leave here, you will be able to say, I know who the Lamb of God is.
Amen.
I'm at Him! And He is my Savior.
Yes.
Simon is coming from the countryside and he sees a crowd in the streets of Jerusalem. He comes closer to see what happened. And as just he comes to the Via Dolorosa, Christ falls down under the weight of the cross. In that very instant, in that very day, in that very second, he never left anything up to chance. Chance does not exist. Did you know that? There are God's appointments, but there is no chance.
Yes.
Chance is the name of a pagan god. The very minute he comes crossing Via Dolorosa, Christ falls down. It's not by chance that you came here today. It's by divine appointment. There's no chance, my friend. I don't know why that Roman soldier picked on him right away. I know that the Roman soldier wanted to hurry this business. And as he looks, he points to Simon. See, it is okay to think about the details that the Bible does not clarify. In my opinion, there's some reason why he stood up. We know sovereign grace, first of all. But maybe, who knows? You look at the rest of the crowd, it didn't look like anybody was going to do anything anyways. Who knows? You look at him and you notice that this guy stood out in the crowd because he was darker. Was an African. Maybe. And since Rome had made so many slaves in Africa, maybe he thought this is going to be easy. Get this guy to help you. And we know this, that Simon of Cyrene is the first Christian in Africa, as far as we know. With a privilege that nobody else had, to be by the side of the crucified and carry his cross. Oh, how many times we find certain things, matters that irritate us and bother us, because we have to change our plans. And it's nothing but sovereign grace bringing us closer to the Savior. Simon must have been thinking, now I'm going to be late for that Passover. Now my wife is going to get on my case. I can't do my shopping. But there's even worse things that are going to happen to him because of being associated with the cross. All his plans go down the drain. And as we think about the crucifixion, we are clearly told, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that Simon did not volunteer to carry the cross, but he was compelled, he was forced by the soldier to carry the cross. So, for the lost men and women like Simon now, the cross is an aggravation. The cross is nothing but a scandal and foolishness. I don't want to get involved with that. The Bible tells you and me that there's not one soul that seeks after God, but God who seeks after the lost. It's not the lost sheep that seeks the shepherd. It's the shepherd who seeks the lost sheep. The sheep is lost. So, to the lost, there's nothing that attracts this person to the cross. To the lost, Paul says the cross is foolishness. It's a scandal. But secondly, we see the cross and the Savior. And we see sovereign grace here. I called your attention that Mark, Luke, they said a certain Simon was going by. You see, Simon was a very common name among the Jews. Simon Peter is another Simon. Tons of Simons. There are maybe another 20 or 40 Simons in that crowd. But was a certain Simon, marked by God, by sovereign grace, chosen. That's what Paul calls the election according to grace. The Word of God let us know that the election is according to sovereign grace, not according to man's merits or deeds or works. Nonsense. A certain Simon. Ephesians chapter 1 says we were electing Christ before the foundation of the world. Paul talks about his own salvation in Galatians chapter 1, and he says, and when God by his grace chose me from my mother's womb. And we could not see anything about that election in that murderer and persecutor of Christians. But sovereign grace caught up with them in the way to Damascus. John chapter 15, verse 16, the Lord Jesus said, you have not chosen me, fellas. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. There's the one that seeks after God, not one. The story of Easter is that he came down from heaven to seek and to save the lost. The lost are looking in all the wrong places. Yes. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's sovereign grace. To remember that song from years ago that says, I wasn't looking, but somehow you found me. Remember the song? I wasn't looking, but somehow you found me. And that's grace.
Yes. Amen.
Paul, Saul, the Pharisee, was looking, but sovereign grace found him. Simon came to Jerusalem, but he was not looking at all to get associated with that cross.
But the Savior found him.
Hallelujah.
And you too, if you're truly saved, you were not looking, but somehow he found you. I love that verse from Isaiah 65. Let us read it together, verse 1.
I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name.
Vamos fazer coro em português e ler todos juntos. 65 de Isaías e o verso primeiro. And here in your Bible you mark it, sovereign grace. Oh, I was found by those who were not looking for me. Sovereign grace, you didn't find Christ. Christ found you. You were lost. That's sovereign grace. We're not even looking. As the song says, I wasn't looking, but you found me. To this we call the providence of God. What was happening in Jerusalem planned from eternity past? And Simon's salvation is planned from eternity past. The very minute, the very second he comes to Via Dolorosa, it all happens there. I'm sure that if you could, you'd run from that place real fast. If he had dreamed before he left home that this was going to happen to him, he would go in the opposite direction, not towards Jerusalem that day. I like biographies, and reading Billy Graham's biography, one of the things that strikes me is how many times people showed up for his crusades to disturb, to cause trouble, and these same people get saved by God's sovereign grace. They came in with a total different purpose, but God's grace caught up with them. So your coming here today is not by chance. It's by God's divine providence in a point. The cross shows us sovereign grace. The Bible says he was just passing by. He didn't want to get involved in anything of crucifixion, away from him. But God's grace came in. He invaded his life, shook his heart, changed it. That's what God's grace does.
Yes.
Does not let you go on doing business as usual. It will come in to change. The third point brings us to the cross and now the saved. And what does the cross mean for the saved? It means submission to God's will. Surrender to God's will. I love the way Luke relates this and reports to us. He says, and he took Jesus' cross and he went after Jesus. Can you picture this? Jesus ahead and Simon carrying the cross behind Jesus. That's the Christian life right there. A Christian is one who follows Christ, taking the cross. Why did I say that to the saved, the cross means surrender and submission? What was the purpose of the Roman cross? Rome wanted to teach a lesson to everybody that anyone who rebelled against Roman law would be crucified. And having the condemned to carry the cross, it meant to everybody, either you submit to Rome or you're dead. The cross was the symbol of submission and surrender of the rebel. And the cross, it's a symbol of surrender and submission to the power of Rome. The rebels are treated with a cross. Either they submit or else. Jesus says, if you follow me, you do like I did, you take the cross in submission, saying, not my will, but thy will, O Father, be done. To Simon, I said, the cross was more than an interruption on his daily affairs. As a Jew, the cross now meant being accursed and not be able to partake of Passover because now Simon is considered unclean. Simon, as I say here, from a rebel he becomes a servant of God, taking the cross. A man that was useless to the kingdom of God now becomes useless to the world and useful to the kingdom of God. That's what the cross means for him, for me, for you. Oh, the cross. He became totally useless for Judaism. He became totally useless for those traditions and ceremonies. But now he becomes useful to the kingdom of God. And when Christ invades your life, all your talents and gifts that you used before for the world, they become now useless as you become now useful to the kingdom of God. This is the story of a little book in the New Testament called The Letter to Philemon. When that brother Paul writes the letter to Philemon about another slave, Onesimus, Paul says, before he met Christ, he was useless. But now he has been so useful to me in the kingdom of God here in Rome, and he will be useful to you from now on. That's sovereign grace and the cross. And he says what the cross does is sovereign grace invades one's life, makes this person useless to the world and useful to the kingdom of God. Let me see what happened with this man, Simon of Cyrene, in the service of Christ. You turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Now you're going to see how useful he becomes. And we read here that the Cyrenian Christians in Jerusalem were persecuted because of the gospel, and they went up to Antioch. Acts 11:20.
But some of them were men from Cyrus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus.
And my imagination places Simon there preaching now the gospel. Turn with me to Acts 13. Now they preach the gospel in Antioch. Now a church is established. Look at the names in the church leadership. Chapter 13, verse 1.
Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul.
Simeon or Simon, same word as Judah and Judas. Here he is, and he is reminded that he is a person of color. He comes from North Africa. Oh, this man, against his will, came close to the Lord Jesus. Gets saved, he's persecuted, preaches the gospel. He's a leader in the church of Antioch. Oh, he was useless to the kingdom, but now, very useful to the kingdom. Thirdly, he not only ceased to be a rebel and becomes submissive to God's will, he not only ceased to be useless and becomes useful to God's kingdom, but instead of a stumbling block, he becomes a blessing. Real fast, you got to stay with me for the last minutes. Don't sleep. The Gospel of Matthew was written to whom? To Jews. The Gospel of Mark was written to whom? The Romans. The Gospel of Luke was written to whom? The Greeks. And the Gospel of John to all the others. So, you and me read in Mark, written to the Romans, that Simon of Cyrene had two sons. Remember? Alexander and Rufus. Why would Mark mention the names? Because they were very well known in the church in Rome. That's why. Tony, you sure? Read with me Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, verse 13.
Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine.
So, Mark is writing to the Romans, and he mentions Alexander and Rufus. They were very well known in Rome, in the church there. And when Paul sends greetings to the church in Rome, he says, I send greetings to Rufus, elected in the Lord, and to his mother, Simon's wife. Also, has treated me as a mother. So you see, Simon, his wife, his kids. What a blessing. He became to the whole family that day that he met Jesus. Unwillingly, like all of us, he wasn't looking, but sovereign grace found him. And now he becomes a blessing to his own family. I said at the beginning, it was not by chance that you came here today, but by God's choice. Are you following the Lord Jesus? I want to invite you today, like Simon of old, to pick up the cross and follow after him. Are you still in your sins? I call you to repent and come to the Savior. Come as you are. Come to the cross. Let us stand. Let us pray. Come to the altar if you need prayer. Come to Jesus and his cross if you don't belong to him yet. Do it now. Do it today.